Hi, everyone. Before we start, this is just a quick announcement to let you know that I'm giving away 3 signed copies of my book, The Fix, autographed by me, Gillian Anderson, and Jennifer Nadel, who wrote my foreword, as well as an apparel item from my store, michellepking.com, which supports Dress for Success worldwide. You'll also have an opportunity to be featured on my podcast. All you have to do is leave a book review on Amazon, and you'll automatically go in the draw to win. The winners will be announced on LinkedIn on April 15th. So get in it to win it.
I saw the struggles and experienced them myself, the struggles that high performers go through. And then in January of 2013, a neighbor of mine, a fellow Olympian, died by suicide. I just went, wow, here's this successful guy. What happened here? And so I was digesting all of the things that were going on in my life. And during a meditation, this thought came up that if I could interview 100 people that had successfully figured it out, what would I learn? And so I had no idea how to find 100 people. I just thought, let's go try and find 100 people. And so that January, I started doing that. And that's how this book came about. That's how the focus of my coaching career came about. So, you know, it really became this evolution of how can I help people that are going through this tough time of transition.
I'm your host, Michelle King, and you're listening to The Fix, a podcast that shares the stories of women and men who are innovating and taking action to advance equality in the workplace and beyond. If someone would have said a month ago that most of our workplaces would be shut, or that we'd have to work from home while educating our kids, and never leave our homes except to shop, and avoid any social contact unless it's 6 feet away, it probably would have sounded crazy. But in just the space of 1 month, we have all adapted. And this is what makes us all so remarkable, our ability to adapt to our environment. While we can and have made this situation work, we shouldn't ignore the costs of adapting. So far, more than 3 million Americans have filed for unemployment. That's 5 times worse than the last time the record was broken, which shows just how suddenly a staggering number of people are losing their jobs or income during the coronavirus pandemic. According to an NPR survey, 18% of households have already reported someone being laid off or having hours reduced because of the coronavirus outbreak, with 21% of women losing their jobs, compared to 16% of men. Losing your job can be scary, overwhelming, and extremely challenging during a pandemic, which is why on this episode we're going to be hearing from Melinda Harrison, a former Olympic athlete, executive coach, and author of Personal Next, What We Can Learn from Elite Athletes Navigating Career Transitions. On this episode, you'll discover how to navigate planned or unplanned career transitions and overcome difficulties of work. Michael Jordan famously said, "I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted to take the game-winning shot and missed. I've failed over and over and over again in my life. And that's why I succeed." Failure is critical to any success story because it's how we learn. Failure is the path to success. But sometimes we forget this, and in difficult times, we can become overwhelmed by feeling as though somehow we're just not good enough. This can be even harder for successful people because it's assumed that high achievers should just go from one success to another. We often ignore how failure got them there in the first place. This is something that Melinda Harrison knows all too well, as she's had to transition from Olympic athlete to executive coach and author. Focusing on elite athletes, Melinda has interviewed more than 100 high achievers who successfully navigated the transition from a life filled with peak performance to a new arena. Here she shares how one moment inspired her to better understand what it takes to successfully manage difficult moments in her career.
So I am an Olympian, and I spent the first part of my life attempting to reach a level of high performance. And it's interesting because all the sports events are being canceled right now. And in fact, I was involved in the 1980 boycott. But I stuck with it. And in 1984, I qualified for the Olympic team and participated at the LA Olympics. You know, it was terrifying. So I talk about this in my book that, like, I really spent the focus of my life trying to qualify for an Olympic team. And when I actually qualified for the Olympic team, I went, what do I do now? Because I wasn't prepared. That was one of the big life lessons I took away, is to look far into the future and try and prepare as much as possible. I graduated from the University of Michigan. I was a two-time captain. I was a multiple ultimate All-American, second at NCAAs, and I couldn't even get an interview. It was just, I walked around that city looking at all these big buildings and thinking, someone has got to hire me. And so it was awful. It was an awful experience, having spent my whole life developing all these great skills, and then all of a sudden turning around and finding out that nobody was interested in those skills. You know, I saw the struggles and experienced them myself, the struggles that high performers go through. And then in January of 2013, a neighbor of mine, a fellow Olympian, died by suicide. I just went, wow, here's this successful guy. What happened here? And so I went to a meditation weekend and was digesting all of the things that were going on in my life. And during a meditation, this thought came up that if I could interview 100 people that had successfully figured it out, what would I learn? And so I had no idea how to find 100 people. I just thought, let's go try and find 100 people. And so that January, I started doing that. And that's how this book came about. That's how the focus of my coaching career came about. So, you know, it really became this evolution of, how can I help people that are going through this tough time of transition or wanting to ramp up their acceleration? And not just from my perspective as an Olympic athlete and the career that I had, but I wanted to learn from other people that had that same experience of high performance.
The imposter syndrome is a well-documented phenomenon that impacts women more than men, as women frequently express that they don't feel they deserve their job or are somehow imposters who could be found out at any moment. Women worry more about being disliked, appearing unattractive, and outshining others. And it's for good reason, as my book, The Fix, explains how workplaces don't value women and men in the same way. Women are often perceived to be less competent and leader-like. To succeed, women have to engage in a very narrow range of acceptable behaviors. It's for this reason that women are often less confident in their ability to advance to senior leadership positions compared to men. In fact, a study at Cornell University found that men consistently overestimate their abilities and performance, while women underestimate both, even when their actual performance doesn't differ in terms of quality or quantity. When you don't see your performance, capability, and talent, it can limit your confidence and ability to bounce back from failure. Here, Melinda shares more on this.
The journey to this personal best informs the steps you take towards a personal next. So if you live in a culture where personal best or trying to achieve something is incredibly important to you, and the culture around that supports you, then that's the mindset you're going to take into a personal next, whether that's right or wrong. And I'll get into that, especially when it comes to women in careers. But we have to step back and realize that the dreams that we form early in our childhood are greatly influenced by the people we are surrounded by: parents, coaches, teachers, family, fans. So I listened to your podcast, Michelle, And I was really intrigued by this Don Draper lens that you brought out. And, you know, for high performers, you have that Don Draper lens, but you also add the underlying message of parents, those that are not just into survival of putting food on the table, but are trying to accelerate their child's success, or at least make sure that that child or teenager doesn't fall behind. And we see this in extra tutoring. We see this in music classes to tie the left and right side of the brain. We see this in extra coaching for that 8-year-old potential baseball player. But what we haven't done is stop and assess the effect that this Don Draper lens and the push to excel our kids happen when we hit the messy middle. And I think it creates, especially for women, this feeling of I'm not enough. So when you grow up in this high-performance culture, there are these attributes that you're exposed to, and they're wonderful. They're dedication, they're ambition, it's grit, it's managing pressure. But there's also things that happen that are not good. I call these the shadow sides, and it's about comparison, judgment, and pleasing. And each of these three things come into play in transition. And it could come into play more for women. That wasn't what I was looking at, but I certainly know that judgment and pleasing is a trait that we all have developed as high performers.
If you're like me, you probably catch yourself frequently falling into the dangerous trap of comparing yourself to others, especially on social media. According to social comparison theory, we all do this in an attempt to make accurate evaluations of ourselves. And while comparison can be a valuable source of motivation and growth, it can also cause us to feel as though we're not good enough. Now more than ever, if we want to manage the different challenges associated with COVID-19, whether that's working from home, dealing with sick loved ones, managing layoffs, schooling our kids, or grappling with all the uncertainty we're encountering, it's really important to consider the downside of using others as a benchmark for our own worth.
We have to stop and think about who am I comparing myself to instead of what do I want? And we've been trained to, it's unbelievable. When I started researching this and looking at it, it's unbelievable. It starts at the youngest of ages. Who got picked for the team? Who gets promoted? Who got into what school? Who got an A? Who flunked? Who got the sought after job? Who got a husband? Who had children? It just goes on and on like this. And so when you don't have anybody to compare yourself in that mid-career time, you start to feel a lot of negative emotions. So the first thing that I recommend is to stop and to say, who am I comparing myself to? And is that what I really want? One strategy that I have is to have my clients put an elastic around their wrist or put their watch on the other hand. And that makes them aware. You can't deal with negative emotions or negative thoughts, the things that cycle in your head, until you actually become aware of them. And so the first step is always awareness. I know it's an overused phrase, but it's so important. So change something up. Either change your watch, put a ring on another finger, but something that makes you feel uncomfortable. And then with that feeling, when you start to talk about yourself in a negative or think about things in a negative way, you go, oh, something feels weird on my body. I've got this thing around my wrist. And that brings the awareness that I'm supposed to be aware of my negative self-talk. And once you are aware of it, put it on a continuum. And so I draw a diagram on a piece of paper for clients. One side is real with the words facts, and the other side is not real with the word facts. And I actually make them write down real facts to their thought that they're having. Because 99% of the time, it's the story we tell ourselves. It's not real. And so once they understand the reality of their thoughts, they can then start to change them.
the average person will change careers 5 to 7 times during their working life, according to career change statistics. With an ever-increasing number of career choices, 30% of the workforce will now change careers or jobs every 12 months. By the age of 42, you may already have had about 10 jobs. The hardest part of changing a career path can be starting. How do you know if you're even on the right track or if you'll be successful?
The question is, do you even know what track you're on? That's the first thing that I would ask somebody. When you say, how do I know if I'm on the right track? I would really want to understand, well, where is your track going? Is it going to a more independent lifestyle? Is it going to a more entrepreneurial lifestyle? And then I'd want to gather information around where the direction you're going. When I say gather information, go off someplace, sit for 8 hours with no phone, no social media, no computer, and write out what you want. Really dig into that direction that you want. Because then you can start to put, as I call it, your athletic mindset or your high performance mindset to those things that you want. But if you don't take a pause and say, what actually is it that I want? What happens in your head is that it keeps cycling. Do I want this? Do I not want this? Should I do this? Should I not do this? And the moment that you go there, you're just in that forever ending cycle of stuck. And so you need to know where you want to go. Even if it seems unrealistic, you need to know where you want to go. So take those 8 hours, go off and sit quietly with no one around and turn off the phone and write out what you want. And I'm the same way. I got my author copies of my book 2 days ago. And I'm thinking, wow, I actually did this. And then I'm thinking, wow, okay, take that Olympic lesson that you learned way back when, that look further out than just the goal of the first thing. And so that's what I would recommend to you, is that really sit down and say, okay, what is it that I really want out of the impact that I'm making? It's not going to happen overnight, but that starts with you saying, if I could impact whatever I'm trying to impact, like define what you want to impact and then drive everything around that. Because we can get caught up in someone else's narrative, someone else's imagination of what they want for you. And so it takes the strength of you knowing what you want to avoid being caught up in someone's narrative.
Lastly, for people who are struggling at home or facing a career transition, Melinda offers her advice for how to navigate these challenges while figuring out your next step.
I see it in athletes I work with today, that they're not willing to ask for help because they've solved their problems before. When they failed, they figured out how to achieve. And so they're not willing to step back and say, I need help because I should be able to solve this on my own. And I think as women, we have that. We think, I should be able to solve that. And so we don't necessarily step back and say, can someone take care of the kids for 4 hours so I can go off and think about my life? Whether that be a partner, a best friend, a husband, a neighbor, a parent, you know, do you really ever ask someone to take 4 hours out of your day to go off and think? And they take over life. And I would imagine the majority of people would say, no, I don't have time for that. But that's a story they're telling themselves. They do have time for it. They might not want to know the answers, and so they don't want to ask the questions. You're not alone. Please reach out to people. Reach out to your friend. Be vulnerable. I think that's the most important thing. And then the other action I would like them to do is start to understand that they can ask questions around their life. So we always are moving towards answers. We're answer man, as the psychologist Mary Lee Adams taught me personally, that we always want to have answers. Find a problem, get the solution, get it off the to-do list. So I would say sit and ask questions. I give some suggestions in my book around asking questions about proficiency. what actually skills do I want to learn? What is something that I'm curious about that I want to gain proficiency in? And, you know, you can go through each of these practices and ask yourself questions. And that would be a great exercise.
I hope all of you found Melinda's advice helpful. I know it can be really hard transitioning careers and overcoming the imposter syndrome. I really want to help any of you who might be struggling with making a change or trying something new, whether that's writing a book or starting a podcast. So this Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time on LinkedIn, Minda Hartz, author of The Memo, will be hosting a webinar with me where we'll share how to write a book for all you aspiring authors. If you have any questions on this topic, then please reach out to me on LinkedIn. I really appreciate all the support that you've shown me, and I want to support each of you during this difficult time. If you want to stay up to date with this or any of my work, please sign up to my weekly newsletter at michellepking.com. Thanks again for tuning in, and I'll catch you all again next week.